In a world of digital card apps, one man...
There's actually two of them.
Two men.
And sometimes a guest.
Two men and sometimes a guest will guide us on a journey there and back again.
No one's traveling. It's a podcast.
The Digital Cross-Trading Podcast. And now, the hosts of the DXT Podcast, Aaron Vine and Mark Brunetti.
Hello, everybody. It's the DXT Podcast. I'm Aaron Viney, 78 on all tops, apps, and quid, and I'm procrastinating underscore com on Upper Deck EPAC.
Well, hey, good morning. This is Mark. I'm Drake Iago on the tops, apps, and welcome to DXT. We're going to talk about episode 3. Of the, or part 3, I guess you want to call, of the Ahsoka show. So, this is, we're recording this actually not on the weekend because I'm going to be gone. So, we'll just talk about it now, which is, it's on a Wednesday morning. So, what are your thoughts on the third episode, which I think is called, like, Ready to Fly or something? I don't know. Let's Go Fly or something. I don't know. What the heck?
Well, first off, I want to, like, just be like, wow, we're, like, totally responsible here. And, you know, we're doing this on a Wednesday morning. I have to say, this is quite amazing. So, kudos to us for not skipping over this week and getting this done.
Yeah.
Right? Talking about really being responsible, right? Look at that.
Yes, we're very responsible. We're the epitome of responsible.
Yes, that's right. We said under no circumstances are we not going to do a very up-to-date, immediate review of this short Ahsoka episode.
Exactly. It was short, okay? Let's kind of go for it. I mean, honest appraisal of the show. What are you thinking?
I'm always happy when something happens that makes me feel like excited and stuff like that, right?
Uh-huh.
In this episode, it was, I mean, not to use a big word, but it's juxtaposed with some, you know, boring scenes, right? The beginning is kind of very, I don't know, just not exciting, where we're seeing Sabine fail in the training and stuff like that. So maybe those were some necessary scenes to do, but it didn't add much excitement to the episode. But then the chase scene, the space chase scene, was fantastic, in my opinion. Maybe one little glaring thing that kind of was a little questionable to me, maybe one little thing that was very Clone Wars-ish and cartoonish that I wasn't certain how much I liked, but the end result of the space chase scene where, they're flying through space, being chased after, lots of laser shots being fired, and then going into the atmosphere and seeing tons of Purgles, that actually, to me, was like a very wow scene with the Purgles. So I kind of liked it. I think that, overall, it was a good episode for the amount of time that it was. But when it ended, I was like, this was totally too short.
Yeah. Which accentuated something, right? It accentuated that, honestly, we're hooked into the story, right? We're obviously hooked into the story because the fact that it ended where it did, and I had a feeling of, are you freaking kidding me? You know, and does that mean I blame the show for being too short? Does it mean I think nothing happened in it? Does that mean any of that stuff? No, it just means I really want to know what happens next, right? I mean, that's really the thing.
I'll give you that. I mean, like, listen, I don't know how everyone else feels about, you know, seeing the Purrgils and seeing them flying, you know, past the tentacles and in between the tentacles and stuff like that. But I thought that was really amazing. I thought it was a very new thing to see in Star Wars. I actually think that they made the Purrgils look really good.
I really don't want to skip to that part. I think that part was, I mean, to me, I have absolutely zero issues with the production quality of, like, visualization, any of that stuff going on. The budget on this show, if it's not the highest they've had, it looks like it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was fantastic. So, you know, my opinion on the show, right, is I'm digging all these things. I'm not hating any of this stuff. But this show is what it is to me, and that is, or this, you know, or the way Filoni's doing this show, he's spending time moving through this story. This was not a filler show. Anybody saying that is a flipping idiot and doesn't understand what filler is, okay? Which I haven't seen really anybody. I saw one person in a chat room watching a YouTube video on a comment saying this is a filler show. It's totally, you're an idiot. Anyone who thinks this is a filler show is an idiot. And I'm sorry for being so strongly opinioned about it. This is part of the story.
I know you don't want to talk about the Purrgils so much right now, but the fact that by episode 3, you know, they're flying through Purrgils, it definitely looks like they're moving the story along.
Well, flying through the Purrgils, I don't think moves the story along necessarily, but it's a necessary part. The fact that these Purrgils, this planet is like a Purrgil, is it like a Purrgil magnet, right?
I mean, theoretically, episode 4, they could be on their way to, you know, the new solar system or whatever.
I do. I think it's either at the end of 4 or at the beginning of 5, they're going to be moving. They're going to actually be leaving, right? So you got one more episode that really is going to tell this arc of what they're doing here in the galaxy far, far away. 5 and beyond will be in the new beyond. Excuse the pun. So let's talk about this episode, right? The first half of this episode, you could say, was slow. What was it? Tuyang teaching through steps, you know, going through the steps, right? And she's practicing. Really cool. I love that thing. It can show where her strikes were. So
that was nice. Yeah,
very cool, right? Yang is a matter of fact droid. Honestly, I think I was honestly confused a little bit by in the second episode where, and we never talked about this, but it was a line that I just absolutely loved. When in the second episode, Huyang says, "You are by far the least talented Jedi I've come across, right?" And then she goes, "Well, thanks." And then she says, "I'm sorry about wasting your time." And he said, "The only time that you're wasting is yours." And it was, and then he's given her the lightsaber at that time. I took that line as encouraging to her, right? Like, the only person's time you're wasting right now talking to me and not training is yours. Here's your lightsaber, train, right? It's encouraging, right? And which it is. It's very matter of fact, right? It's like you have very low aptitude. You are only going to get better by training. But in this episode, he's much more down about it, right? Or he's just much more noncommittal, right? He's just saying, you know, hey, I don't think this is a good idea training her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not exactly sure about that. So that to me sets up obviously at some point in the future, he's going to have a statement and say he's going to, well, if this was any other show, there'd be a point in the future where he says like something like I was wrong or what you have, you do use well, or some type of, at least he's going to give her something, give Sabine something. It's very possible that he never does that. And that would almost be refreshing. right? You know, but so I think that slowness of the training with Ahsoka, he held it on for probably, most people would think, too many beats, which he's done that before earlier in these first two episodes, right? In each case, did he need to show her doing all three of the towers in the temple and lining them up with the things lit up, right? He did. He did. He took the time to show all three of those. He took the time to show in this one, Ahsoka tapping her shoulder four or five times before they then got into the main part where she was like getting frustrated. And I honestly thought, I thought in some points that she was anticipating. I thought, did you see that when she was training? Did you see a point at which she was starting to anticipate?
It was unclear to me whether it was anticipation or her getting frustrated and you know, starting to just move faster and swinging.
Right. Right. So, okay. So then, and what's great is that they are not, I'm telling you, the whole show is just taking its time, right? Would you think any show would be going three episodes into it where they've already mentioned, they've already given a Sabine a chance to fail in the first episode. Then they give a chance for them to say she doesn't have good abilities or doesn't have far along in the second episode. And then in the third episode, they reiterate that and then have her explain to Sabine that you may not be picking it up, but everyone has the capability of picking it up and you need to focus and you need to, et cetera, right? I mean, and yet she's still not showing it, right? She didn't pull the cup. She honestly didn't have an extremely awesome result in the cockpit of the gunner's station until she worked together with Ahsoka, which maybe that might be a big hint, right? That Ahsoka is going to have to change her ways a little bit of how she kind of thinks about it, where it's going to have to really be more of a team effort with Sabine. Then maybe Sabine works better when she is working in concert with another Jedi, right? So there's all types of, to me, I didn't feel that was boring. My wife was sitting next to me, and I was worried that she thought it was boring, but I wasn't bored about it.
You actually bring up a very good point, actually, which I didn't think about in terms of saying, like, maybe she'll be more responsive working as more like a team, which may also tie into why, you know, I found the first, you know, 15 minutes or so about a little bit kind of, I don't want to say bad because I definitely liked it, but just kind of slow moving. And this is kind of the feeling that I've had from the first two episodes. I was like, okay, you know, like Ahsoka in this series is, you know, very just like, I don't want to say despondent, kind of to herself, not very interactive, right? So, like, and in this episode, in the beginning, she was the same way. It's kind of like, say, a line, and then walk away, you know, not very nurturing, right? And she finally was nurturing during that space scene. Where she's trying to get Sabine to, you know, shoot the guns, and even when she's out on the wing, and that's kind of one of the biggest questions that I have, which we could talk about after you continue your analysis here. But you know, is Ahsoka right now just like not enough personality and just too stoic? And we can even compare her to like Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right. I'm not sure where Dave's going with this, honestly. Right. Yeah. I don't any of us really understand what Dave's doing on this, right? There's some theories. There's some theories that you could think of that might be what he's trying to do, right? But let's just, you know, so Ahsoka has been, I will put it this way. This Ahsoka has been in this show for three episodes, but whatever it is that is really going to be a personal impact on Ahsoka has not yet happened yet. Okay. Like right now, I think this show, at least the first couple episodes, have been more about, a little bit about Ahsoka learning to say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to take back. I'm going to try this again with Sabine," which to me is a step, right? It's a step. It's a minor step, right? This mm-hmm. episode to me, I liked that the first half of the episode she was not really stoic, but she was not she wasn't mean to Sabine. She was just very matter of fact. And then she was supportive at the table. And then she went back to kind of being a mentor and a master with the whole cockpit scene. But then Huyang said something like, with what you two guys are up to, we're not going to make it, right? Mm. And that clicked in her and she changed, right? She then said, "Okay, listen, Sabine, you tell me what you need me to do." Right. Mm. And she's now helping. Right. And I don't think, to me, Huyang is down on Sabine. I'm not sure what is Ahsoka, what she is. I don't think she's down on her. I think she has either opinion of, she either intently believes in the fact that anyone can use the Force. Right. You just have to tap it into. You just have to tap into it. And you may not be good as other people, but you can still use it. Right. So I think but she's very patient. She's incredibly patient, which is so much not like Ahsoka, right? So, and a lot of it has to do with, I think, is the fact that right now her only driving force we know of yet, is that she wants to stop the war. She wants to stop the war because I think if the war continues, then honestly, it just continues her failure, right? If she failed and let Anakin become Darth Vader, which created an entire 20 years of the dark times and a giant civil war, that if that civil war is now done, but the long-term impacts of that war is going to start another war because it's really still a continuation, then her pain isn't over yet. So she wants to stop that, right? So that, to me, that's the only driving force she has in the show right now. But mm-hmm. But, you know, she also has to deal with the fact that she has quit on things. So there's got to be something that happens that doesn't involve Sabine necessarily. It involves only Ahsoka, where Ahsoka has to come to a realization about something. And what that something is could be a million things, right? It could be that I really wasn't at fault with Darth Vader, just like Obi-Wan needed, right? He turned because he was going to turn, right? And she needs to come to that realization. But how are they going to do that? And they need to do that. I think they need to do that, right? And I think it's going to happen, to me, honestly, I think it would have to happen, like, in these middle episodes, right? She has to have some type of step toward that. We can't have her be this character all the way through to, say, episode 7 or something like that, where she finally sees the light. There's got to be some type of crack in it. And I think there was a little bit of a crack in it, this one, right? I think she realized that she can't train Sabine just like she would train anybody else or how anybody trained her, right? Which is put you out there, let you figure it out, give you pointers, and let you grow. It sounds like for Sabine, she's going to help a little bit, right? And that's what she did in the battle. So I agree. Ahsoka's, honestly, right now, this is not what we were expecting from Ahsoka, and I don't think this is what the show wants Ahsoka to be. So this has got to be the before Ahsoka, right? And some point she goes to the after Ahsoka.
I hope so, because I feel like, you know, between all the other things, wasn't she always like a smartass?
Yes.
She would always have like something to come back with, right? And right now she's just really quiet.
She hasn't given one snippy comment to anybody, really.
Yeah.
which, you know, her name's Snips, right? So, this is a choice. This is a choice that they're making with this character, right? I'm not sure I agree with it, but if they have a turnaround that's done better than Luke's turnaround, right? If they do it before the last episode and then Ahsoka dies, I'm going to be really effing pissed, right?
So, wait, what did you just say?
If they have her do a turnaround where she suddenly comes back to being, instead of a stoic idiot, to actually like a really powerful Jedi that like is in full command and confident and sure of herself and the old Ahsoka, right? Where she's actually like comment, you know, whatever, being snarky, right? A little tiny bit at least. If they wait till the very end of the show and have her be snarky and or have her finally become the real Ahsoka and then like die like they did with Luke, I'm gonna be really PO.
Oh my god, dude! Like, I oh my god, there should be a 0% chance of Ahsoka being killed off on this show.
I'm not saying that there's a chance that they did that. I'm just saying the choices that what Star Wars has done in the past, which is take one of your heroes, make them into somebody that's not like them. Only at the very end to kind of throw it in, because really it's not about Ahsoka, it's about somebody else, right? If they do that again with Ahsoka, that's stupid. Now, I don't think they're gonna. I think that in this show is about Ahsoka, and this show is about her growth in addition to Sabine's growth. But I think Sabine's growth is completely tied into Ahsoka's growth, right? Because Ahsoka has to grow both as a Jedi and as a senior person that is now... She has a responsibility, even though she left the Jedi Order, she has a responsibility to grow the Jedi Order. And she can't do that if she doesn't know how to deal with a student, right?
Well, I don't think she's accepted the fact that she needs to grow the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
100% certain on that.
Yeah. We don't really still understand what really Ahsoka's role in Star Wars is. Right now, she doesn't really have a role right now, right? Her role right now is she is the lead, most powerful Force user that's sort of trying to figure out how to get Jedi or how to get Ezra back and how to stop Thrawn. That's her role right now, which it's a mission, so it's good. But it's nothing beyond that yet, right? And I would really feel that it would be a missed opportunity. And I don't think it's going to happen. I really do think that with the whole thought, we know that Anakin's going to be in this show, right? So that means she's got to learn something from that. There's no reason to have Anakin in the show if it's not something important enough that drives some change or some realization that Ahsoka has, right? I mean, we agree, right? That's got to be the purpose of Anakin being in the show.
I mean, there has to be.
Right? So we know she's going to go through some type of change. The question is, what is that change going to be turned into? Is it going to turn into where she's going to say, I am a Jedi, like my master before me, right? Is she going to say that? Is she going to say, the Jedi are wrong, and I'm just going to be saving, you know, I'm going to try to find Ezra, because Ezra is the possible helper of the Jedi. The Jedi's hopes are in Ezra, and that's, I need to find him. Or is the hopes really in Ahsoka, right? So anyway, those are big pictures, and this episode really didn't help us in that. Other than to me, it did it helped you see small changes in Ahsoka. So that was a small part of it, right? To me, that was a driving factor, right? The whole thing with the, let's talk about the space stuff, the space battle and the Purgles and all that jazz, right? To me, I love the sound effects. I love the visuals. I think my only thoughts on it were, those fighters' laser bolts. They're like, I mean, it's like, what are you? Are they sweet, sweet kisses on the? So that was pretty. I mean, they hit him a lot of times, right? And it did hardly anything. I mean, I'm not sure what the point of a fighter that does that little amount of damage to a ship is, right? But there's six or whatever, right?
I mean, I have to admit, I mean, like, when I saw, like, those ships, like, they were really cool, but, like, I was like, those are really tiny fighters, and, like, Ahsoka's ship is really big, so I was like, be interesting to see what happens here, and it went a little bit the way that I thought it would, which is that, in my brain, you know, Ahsoka's ship has really good shields.
Which would make sense, right? If she lives her whole life on this thing, right?
Yeah.
She's probably put a lot of effort into its shield. So her ship is probably a pretty powerful ship for a ship its size, right? So yes. And they did do damage. They did some damage. The turbo lasers on the ring did a lot of damage too, which I thought that whole sequence was pretty cool, other than the fact that they finally hit them and blow them up.
Yeah.
And then they're just sitting there, like, drifting in space, and for some reason the ring, they can't see it, and they don't finish it off. They instead then back.
That's exactly what I was like, what's going on? Yeah.
Well, you know, first Morgan says, y'all didn't do it. Y'all didn't damage her enough, or y'all didn't do it enough, right? So let me take over. Hang back. And I love the dynamics they're creating between Morgan and Shin and Marok. And then she tries, right? And I thought that was pretty impressive. And they did damage the ship enough, although they did help. They did hold that battle long, too. Everything that Filoni's doing, he keeps these scenes running really long. Like, the whole drive into the thing went longer than I thought it would. Before they pulled up and he finally said, I got the scan, right? Then he get blown up, and I love it. As the minute he said he got the scan, he blows up. I thought that was neat. But then why didn't they finish him off? I guess they couldn't see him, which, you know, whatever. It's just a little, it's like, why worry about it? Because you know the point is that Ahsoka wasn't supposed to die right then, right?
Just right. Like, I mean, right? The robot said, like, Ho Yang said, like, oh, it's, you know, like, the station's not completely constructed yet. So I kind of like was able to be like, all right, so maybe they don't have they don't have laser beams on the other side of the ring.
That is what he said. He just said all the things are. But yeah, to me, that's not a big deal, right? Because what it allowed us to do, right? It allowed Shin now to say, well, you didn't finish it either, so let me finish her off. And they come in, and then we get this whole, you fix a ship while I'm going out there. And yes, that scene was. That scene was cool, and I got no problems with it. Boy, they could have done more, right? I was waiting for her to deflect a bolt back at Shin's ship, right? Wouldn't it have been great if the first pass, Shin starts firing at Ahsoka, and Ahsoka deflects a bunch, and it hits Shin's ship, and she's like, whoa, and she pulls off from it a little bit, and she's like, wow, this girl's pretty good, right? You know, something like that would have been a cool scene, right?
Yeah,
so instead, they zoom through. They don't shoot the ship at all. They're just trying to shoot her. And they swoop back. And she then does a little ray thing, flips over, and chops one of the things, which I thought was pretty damn cool. She's now out of control, floating, which is funny. So she doesn't know how to control herself in space, but Leia did, but which makes sense, right? I mean, you know, Leia's got... There's like something intrinsic in when she, you know, where she's at in the Force. But I just love the little snip she made back. She said, okay, are you going to come and get me or whatever? Right. And so she turns the ship, lands on it. I think I really felt that the back and forth between Sabine and Ahsoka was very reminiscent of the going back and forth that Anakin and Obi-Wan had in the prequels, right? You know, that kind of one-upmanship a little bit, or that just the way they bantered back and forth with each other, right? And there was a little bit of that showing in this episode, which I thought was pretty cool. And I like that if that's where their relationship's going to be now, where Sabine is basically just, she's going to be a tough nut to teach because, honestly, she's pig-headed and she doesn't really have a whole lot of latent abilities. Then I like that, right? To go off the beaten path, do you think I have two theories of where I think they might go with Sabine and the Force. And What do you think is going to be the end result with Sabine in the Force? Is she just going to be a not very good Jedi, but a good warrior? What do you think she's going to be?
That's a very good question. My gut's telling me that she's just not going to, that she's just going to be a good warrior and not a good Jedi. And so it's going to be another thing that Ahsoka's going to have to come to terms with. Don't know.
Right. That... I actually think there's three options, right? One option is what you just said. We're just going to have to come to realization that she's just not going to be that strong in the Force, and that hers and Ahsoka's relationship has to be a slightly different kind of master relationship kind of thing. It's got to be something more of teamwork, like we kind of talked about before. That's the first option, right?
Yeah.
The second option is that she does suddenly have a breakthrough, and then she's pretty decent as a Force user, right? Which I'm not sure. That's what normally would happen in any other movie. So that's the predictable most. That's like we expect that to generally happen, right? The third option is that she doesn't really get strong in the Force, but when she goes to the Nether region, the new beyond, she finds out that she can do magic. And that's how she counteracts her weakness in the Force, is that for some reason she has this affinity of doing Night Sister kind of stuff, right? So
that's an interesting point. I mean, we don't even know what the Nether regions is at this point. I mean, so she could be totally changed when she gets to the Nether regions.
We have some ideas. From some leaks and stuff, we kind of got some ideas of what the new beyond is for, and it's possible. Expect the new beyond to be pretty different. Where maybe even some of the way we even think the Force is used is different there. So, so it might be. Who knows? So that'll be interesting to see. To me, I like where they're going with this. I personally like the fact that she wasn't able to move the cup, although I was really hoping that she did. What I was honestly thinking would be a cool idea would have been, you remember when she gets frustrated with the cup at the end?
Yeah.
Away, that as she's walking away, it moves because of her frustration. Like maybe she goes, maybe she says, "Dank Ferrick," right? When she says it and it moves, right?
That didn't happen, that would have been cool.
That would have been pretty cool if she realizes that remember how Ahsoka said, you know, once you got frustrated, it gives you a little bit of power, your anger, but yeah. It's whatever, right? Whatever the comments she said about it. So, you know, maybe because, you know, honestly, Sabine was not a devout, like, light side user, right? She joined the Empire, right? She's probably done a lot of things to compromise her morals, maybe, in her past, right? So, she's more in tune to be, like, to utilize the more, you know, tempting parts of the Force, right? The anger and jazz. So, you know, maybe that could have been something interesting. But the fact that she didn't do anything just shows that she really right now is just she's just really a complete noob when it comes to the Force. So... And they've done that for three episodes, right? They've now reinforced it. So I'm trying to figure out really where they're going for this. You know, they've now established themselves so that if she does have a remarkable turnaround, there better be an effing good reason why she does it, right?
Yeah.
Right? So we'll see. So Hugh Yang, let's talk about Hugh Yang. I think we already have, but any other thoughts on the robot? I'm really digging that guy.
I mean, I like the history that he has. Anything that has, like, history is two thumbs up for me. But I'm still waiting to see how he fits in here.
What about... Yeah. Okay, so now let's talk about Shin and Marok. So Marok got a little more time, face time, mass time, his voice... it's now showing he's being played by, from a stunt actor. It shows Paul somebody is playing him, but it also mentions Sam Witwer again as voices. So I don't know if we talked about this, but you know Sam Witwer is, right?
Yeah, we spoke about it a little bit last time.
Okay, so probably the voice of this guy. Now, does that mean that this guy is Starkiller? I don't know.
No, no, because, I mean, you know, Sam Witwer also played the voice of Darth Maul. He also played the voice of Mortis. So, this is, you know, a voice actor. He's a very good voice actor.
True. But this guy is an Inquisitor. His name is Marok. Starkiller's name was Marek, right? And he was a Inquisitor, or at least I can understand why he could just be simply doing voice work for this guy, and it's probably as simple as that, Occam's Razor, right? That's just probably what it is. And even if he was Starkiller, my guess is he's not the Starkiller we know. He's not the guy that's super ultra powerful. He's just an alternative version of what Starkiller could have been if Starkiller was not really Vader's apprentice, but just another one of another one of the Inquisitors.
I wouldn't want that. Even though I haven't played, the Force Unleashed in its entirety, I have gone and watched like videos of like cutscenes and stuff like that. But like the game is an epic game, and it's got a lot of really great stuff in it.
Pulling down a Star Destroyer, right?
You know. My God! Yeah, that's freaking.
So yeah, you're right. You're saying, hey, listen, guys, the worst thing you can do is to say it is Starkiller and have him be emasculated, right?
Totally.
I'd rather him be the farthest thing from he's not Starkiller whatsoever, or he really is Starkiller and Starkiller is who we thought he was, right?
Let him you know continue on his arc in the proper form and fashion, right? But
no room for a Marok arc in this show at this point. It doesn't feel like it, right? Now, if he goes to New Beyond, maybe he suddenly gets a blast of power. I don't know, right? Who knows, right? But, I thought it was cool. Though, I think Shin, I mean, honestly, you spent the whole episode looking at her face, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And she's definitely a sight for sore eyes, right? So you don't mind it, but she, you know, honestly, she's an apprentice, she's a Padawan, so I guess it makes sense that she wasn't able to defeat Ahsoka, right? Mm-hmm. But she honestly had her comeuppance twice, right? She tried beating up the ship first time, it didn't work, although she hit it a bunch of times. Then she gets called off. Then she has a chance again. And she tries to go after Ahsoka, and she fails there. So, you know, my guess is she's either going to be super ultra pissed next episode or something, right? Because they haven't shown them to be idiots yet, but they are having a hard time killing Ahsoka. But she's having a hard time killing them, right? She still hasn't killed any of them yet. So, any of the Force users yet. So, it's interesting. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of that or not. I'm not sure how it could have happened different, right? They couldn't kill us. So
I wouldn't call any of these things really failures. Listen, they're having a very ongoing back and forth battle of, you know, cat and mouse. I just think really the biggest thing with this episode is that it was too short. And if they finished up this cat and mouse situation instead of ending it where they're like, go find her in the woods, I think I would have been left more satisfied.
I'm thinking they looked at the pacing of that and they said, if we started getting into the chase in the woods, it would then take away from. You just have to trust that they know that it makes sense for it to be in the fourth episode than it needs to be at the end of the third episode, right? Because maybe it's not the battle in the forest isn't a complete ending thing itself, right? Maybe it leads to something later that happens at the temple, right? Where all the rocks are, right? So,
this is where I'm going to still make the statement that I don't think that Disney Plus
or you know, the people making Star Wars have quite figured out the timing with all these episodes. Because, truth be told, in my opinion, if they had something that was really good and they needed another 30 minutes to an hour to tell it, just put it together as a movie. And just be, there's plenty of times where, like, they're like, you know, we're going to do two episodes back to back, or make it a, you know, 1.5 hour episode event, something to that effect. Don't.
They did that. They did that for their first two episodes.
Well, I know, but you know, they have to get their timing better, because, like, I think the first two episodes should have been one episode, and, you know, they should have made this episode longer.
I mean, it doesn't help, right? I mean, the fact that this episode, I mean, the fact that the first two episodes were a common complaint about the first two episodes was that there were some parts that just hung too long and that it was slow at parts. For them to follow up with a short episode that, even though it's short and it had generally a lot of action in it, it's still, they found ways of having slow parts in it, right? Probably just wasn't, it's just not the best, right? It's like they're almost, I'm in it, right? But how does like regular people that watch shows and kids who literally have to watch 15 second things on TikTok? I mean, we keep joking about this TikTok and stuff, but it's a real change to the way young people look at content, right? Young people look at content where they can't deal with quiet terms like that, right? So the fact that they're not really shying away from it shows, A, that Filoni's just got balls the size of Texas, right? And he's like, listen, I'm going to make this show the way I want to make it, and I want to hang on pieces that I really want to make sure I hang on. And if the YouTube kids and the TikTok kids can't keep up with it, I'm sorry, but that I'm not, you know, doing it for them, right? Which is so anti-Disney, right? I mean, literally, we complain about, maybe we should be happy about it, right? Because it shows that they aren't catering to the lowest common denominator. The only people that will give this show a chance with these kind of pauses and slow stuff in it are us, right? Us type of fans, right?
So, I think that the show itself so far has been good enough to attract plenty of people.
And there was a report there's a little bit of debate over the amount of views the first two episodes got. Samba said it was generally right on par with Andor, right? First couple episodes, which is not good, right? Andor was never. A darling of you know, that kind of thing, like a lot of people watched, right? And this is Ahsoka, for crying out loud, and Filoni. That should have at least attracted more people than who went and watched Andor, right? So I don't know. I mean, I don't care. I guess I don't care. Short-sighted, I don't care, because I'm enjoying the show. But long-term, I might have a problem, because if this show doesn't have the views that Mandalorian got, you know, then I don't know what Star Wars does. If Star Wars, the Star Wars think we can't tell stories like Andor because no one's going to watch them, and we can't tell stories that are rich in lore and clue Filoni-ness as this, right? I don't want Filoni to get a bad rap because this show doesn't get high ratings, right? I want him to continue to be encouraged to keep doing what he's doing.
I mean, so, I could tell you that they've reached children. Because my daughter, like, came into the house one day and screamed, you know, oh my God, there's a new series called Ahsoka for Star Wars. And it's not like I told her about it. She came home and told me about it, and she's 9 years old. And so I said to her, are you going to watch it? And she said, yeah, I'll watch it. She hasn't watched it yet. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, in my opinion, made itself known to lots of people.
It's just a question of whether they can get people to watch it on a weekly basis. And the pacing right now, like, I don't have a problem with anything that Dave Filoni is doing in these things, right? I like them a lot. You know, I'm just pointing out that, you know, in episode 3, the first 10 to 15 minutes, you start to realize how stoic Ahsoka is and how, you know, kind of not nurturing, kind of like, you know, not much personality as of yet. And, you know, I want to see more personality, right? We were able to get by with that in Mandalorian, and we were able to get by with that in Book of Boba Fett, because she's a very small portion of those shows. But now that she's the go-to person, yeah. I don't, like, if she's going to stay like this person that's very just like, you know, kind of like doesn't have much personality and kind of very just stoic and not, you know, giving out much emotion, it's not going to work. Like, it's not going to work if she's going to be like a very, very like Spockish type character.
Which I agree. There's no way they can conceivably think, there's no way that Filoni thinks that that would work right now. So I think she's going to go through a change. Will it be a dramatic change? I don't know. I'm feeling less and less like it'll be a dramatic change. I'm feeling more like it'll be a important change, but not one that necessarily turns her into, hey, Sky Guy. I mean, she's never going to do that, right? So
the second half of the episode, I agree with what you're saying, that it seems like she started coming out of her shell a little bit during the space battle scene. So I think that that's enough. You know, it doesn't have to be an over the top thing. She doesn't have to become bubbly all of a sudden, but at least something to kind of like just not have her like say one line and then slowly walk out of a room, right? Hopefully that's something that we see happen. And listen, maybe for herself, she's in that state of mind right now because she's depressed for all we know.
Yeah, I think that is. But and if they just hit that, if they hit that straightforward and she has a moment of like maybe a near-death experience or something like that, right, where she sees something, then that would be really enriching. I would love it. So I think something like that's going to happen. It would have to me. So let's talk about some other little high hit things before we kind of because we're already our episode's already longer than the show was. let's talk about the Purrgils. I thought that scene, I was sort of expecting it, right, because we'd seen a shot of it. But to me, I thought they just did that really, really well. And I just think that whole action sequence of them going through the Purrgils was very asteroid-esque. And it was, I thought it was pretty freaking cool. What'd you think?
I'm sorry.
Purrgils.
Was it Purrgils? I think I said what I thought about the Purrgils. The Purrgils are amazing. The Purrgils are, I was super excited to see the Purrgils. Just got my, imagination going. It, you know, they looked really good. You know, Ahsoka flying through all of them during a space chase was really cool, in my opinion. I was really digging everything about that scene. I would say that was like near perfect, in my opinion, of what they did with the Purrgils right there.
What do you think about, now we know it's a hyperspace ring, which I think we were talking about. We talked about that last week. They now confirmed it, right? Is it a hyperspace ring? Do you think that hyperspace ring is just going to fly to the new beyond in order to bring stuff back? Is it going to lasso a Purrgil and the Purrgil is going to take it to the new beyond? What do you think?
Ooh, I mean, originally I was thinking that there's going to be a large ship that connects to it and goes to...
In this what? In this galaxy, you mean? There'd be a large ship that connects to it. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And then flies to the other galaxy. But
I think I'm feeling its purpose is to go there and bring, because I'm still holding hopes that it's going to bring back a like two or three Star Destroyers, right, in it.
Mm.
That's what I hope is going to happen. So, the Chimera. So, but do you think it can do it on its own, or you think they're waiting around for a Purrgil?
I think that's a great question. I mean, I think that would be super cool if they lassoed a Purrgil in there, but it's got freaking like six like rings or something, like six hyperspace drives on it.
You would think it doesn't need it, right?
Right, but you know, listen, I mean, the Purrgils know where they're going, so I mean, like,
well, they do two now, right?
That's true. Yeah. So, do they need a Purrgil? I don't know. All I can say is that when I saw the Purrgils, I was like automatically thinking this is perfect. Just freaking strap yourself to Purrgil.
Yeah, so what I think is going to happen is I don't think this cyberspace ring needs the Purrgil, right? But the question is, how the hell is Ahsoka going to get to the new beyond? Are they going to stow upon the ship and take it? Are they going to, or are they going to be left behind, okay, and they take a Purrgil to the new beyond?
I mean, I 100% was like, when I saw the Purrgils, I was like, they're freaking taking a Purrgil.
Okay, so I'm thinking you're probably right there, too. That's what I think to me feels like more of like what would happen. Okay, we did have a scene with Hera and the new council, right? With Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
I thought that was a decent scene. I think, honestly, have we not already gotten the picture that the New Republic is impotent? Have we not already gotten that? Can we add a tiny bit of nuance to that? I mean, now you have just people at the council who are just like, literally, like I'd like my ships to be used. And that's Kaz's dad, you know, of course, right? From Resistance, right? That's Kaz.
Oh, my God. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. So literally he's like, our ships could be used for better purposes to support our people. And I guess the question is, okay, fine. You don't want us to chase. You don't want us to chase down, fly to a planet for a couple of hours because you'd rather have them do some other mission. What exactly would you need them to do? Right. So either he is a, and you know, they keep mentioning that they're Imperials at every level. Honestly, I think what this show is trying to say is that if anything, you could look at the impotence of the New Republic as like a indictment on democracies, right? How they're ineffective, or which would be a very strong thing to say, because they are ineffective in many ways, because they're built to be ineffective, because they're supposed to take the views of many people. But if you don't want something as harsh as that, you could say, well, the reason why the New Republic wasn't very effective is because they had Imperials everywhere within their infrastructure, which was just pulling them back, because there was a lot of people that were like, you know, not wanting the New Republic to succeed. Do you think that's where they're going with this?
I mean, that's a very interesting thought process on it. First off, I want to point out if they use Maz Kanata's dad in this, if to be like a Dumbo, that doesn't make me happy.
Wait. Not Maz Kanata's dad, Kaz.
I'm sorry, Kaz from Resistance, right?
Yeah. Not Maz.
Kaz. Sorry, my bad. But Kaz. So if they use his dad to be an idiot, I don't want them doing that to
what?
I don't want them doing that to Kaz. Don't make his family more dumb.
No. The dad was consistent with his dad from Resistance. His dad from Resistance was a hardliner, was never really happy with Kaz, and honestly was just kind of an asshole. Excuse my French.
Yeah, well,
that's consistent. He's the same guy. So they consistent with the father.
All right, just as long as that don't hurt Kaz anymore, man. Okay. He I like him. He was good.
So what did you think about that whole scene? I mean, obviously, you know, when you got a bunch of senators talking, but
you know. I mean, I totally did not pick up on like the same level that you did. Like, I was just kind of curious if Mon was gonna be able to sway everyone and allow them to get their ships, but she wasn't able to. I think the bigger thing from that scene was when she walked out and we got our first look at Jason.
Okay. Jason, so, we'll talk about one thing about the conversation with the senators. Fantastic editing job and fantastic just like dialogue, situation, directing, whatever you want to call it. When Hera says, Senator, where were you during the war? Were you just waiting for the one to come, you know, whoever to come out on top? And they pause.
Yeah. Oh,
and he has
that was good
look, and she just holds it there. I thought that was perfect. Right.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Hera, whatever she's been, that girl's been, she's been a stalwart in the rebellion. She fought tooth and nail for years, and you can tell where she's coming from on that. Right.
Yeah.
I don't want another war, and I'm trying to use what resources we have now to prevent it, and you're sitting there just being a dick, right? So, anyway, so, okay, so let's talk about Jason. All right, so finally they mentioned to it. I mean, it's kind of funny that she mentions it to her, and then immediately the kid shows up right after that, which is kind of, I guess that's for people who don't really know the show, right? Like, we knew she had a son. So we didn't need it mentioned. I guess if he just popped up at the end of the scene and said, hey, Mom, people would be like, what, who is this, right? So
right.
I think that was cool. Now, does anybody notice, like they didn't explain who the father is there because, you know, but the kid, he's human. And his mom, do you think the average schmo is thinking he's adopted or is thinking, oh, there must be some reason why he's human and she's Ryloth.
Well, yeah, I mean, totally. I think that the average person is saying who's the father and curious about who's the father if they don't know Star Wars like we do. So it's going to be a new mystery for those watchers, but if you're listening to the show, we're going to give you a hint. It has to do with Star Wars Rebels.
Everybody listening to this show knows. So I guess the question is, I thought it was interesting that he mentioned, and we were talking about this last week, right? We were saying, how are they going to portray Hera as a mom? And I think they're portraying her exactly how I thought she was portraying her. She was supportive of her son. He mentioned he wanted to be a Jedi. And she said, I know you do. And she just smiled at him. But she kind of had this weird look on her face. So I think that's probably, she's probably playing the mom as she would, right? Yes, I know that's what you want. And it's probably what's best. But your dad died because he was a Jedi, right? So, probably some mixed feelings that she has in that. But I thought, introduction, he's very young, so to me I don't think he has a part in this show other
there's got to be some other like undertones to what's going on there, because you know, you have Ahsoka training someone that has literally no force ability, and you have a child that you know should have a decent force ability. Why isn't she training him? So I don't know. That's another story point that would be interesting to find out about.
Maybe, he's just too young. But yeah, you're right. Why is he not? Why hasn't Hera made the decision to either bring him to Luke? Maybe Luke's not taking on. Maybe Luke already has an apprentice at this time. I don't know, right? What I think is a possibility, right, is we talked about, is that there's a very good chance that in this show or in the aftermath of this show, there will be a time jump. So you introduce the child now, and then the next time we see him will be years later, and he will be at the academy with Luke or something like that. I'm thinking that's why you establish it. You establish him now. He says he has three words in it, and one of them, and some of them are, "I want to be a Jedi." Right. So there you go. You just establish the plot point. You know what he wants to do, and so the next time we see him, maybe it'll be years later. Maybe that's when Ahsoka comes back. Right. When they come back from the New Beyond, maybe Hera's now 15 years older, or the whole galaxy is 15 years in the future. Right. Who knows what? Right.
It's got to be. It's got to be Rey time. It's got to be Rey time.
Well, we hope. We hope.
Yeah.
But yes. But if it is Rey time, then if it is Rey time, then I'm gonna have a major. I'm gonna have a major question for Lucasfilm saying y'all finally did it. Y'all finally screwed yourself with all this hopping back and forth bullcrap. You ended up creating a situation where if they jump away, they don't come back until after Rey time. Who the F was that talking to Luke at the temple when he was building it? Right? So there's no way she's going back to the planet to talk to him. If she's now hanging out on a planet, stuck on a planet, going to go into hyperspace with the Purgles and stuff and not back for something years, when does she have time to go see Luke?
I don't know. She threw her, it was her Force ghost.
Yeah. Right, there might have been just some time period, and we never know how much time has passed between her capturing Morgan and her getting to this planet to find the temple and Morgan escaping. We have no idea how much time that was.
Yeah,
that
I mean, it is theoretical that she could have seen Luke already.
She could have. So, and they might just leave it open like that. So, okay, cool.
They're definitely leaving it open like that.
Yeah, we're now three episodes in, and we're probably about to leave this galaxy, and they haven't even mentioned the fact that there's another Jedi out there protecting the Republic. So, a little weird. What else? I think that's about it. Baylan wasn't even in the show at all. He's at the very end, and he holds this very long pause at the end, which I thought was that was just another one of the ones where he's hung on that scene a little while. He said, "Go get him," and he's sitting there. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, first of all, and I have no problem with this at all, but I'm just saying the fact that Ahsoka, Hera, Morgan, Shin, Sabine, that is amazing. Five women. As like almost the entire leading cast of the show. Hu Yang, male voice, Marok, couple of grunts, and Baylan. But that's it. That is an amazing approach to this show. And it's just I just kind of smile to myself every time I think about it. I'm very pro that. And it's just very interesting to see how awesome that is that they do that. So, and they have not, what's fantastic is honestly all the problems that they're giving Sabine, right? It's like all the idiots who talk about like why this and why that, right? They can't complain about Sabine, right? They can't complain about her at all. I mean, literally, she did terrible compared to what Luke did with the remote, right? And he hardly had any training whatsoever, right? So she is dead as a doornail when it comes to the Force, for sure, right? So right now, they're basically saying, I think Filoni's just being very upfront with it. He says, listen, not every Jedi is made the same, and Sabine has got some problems, right? This is going to be a major part of this show. So I dug it. I'm digging the problems she's having that they're consistently keeping with it. But they're setting up something, and this show did was not really resolve anything. It just moved it forward a little bit, but not in a filler way. It just moved it forward. And I thought, to me, the main purpose of this show was to show a small change and tweak in the way Ahsoka and Sabine relate to each other. I think by the end of this show, they're much more of a team than they were at the beginning of this show. So it was great showing that, which they needed to.
All right, I liked the episode, and my biggest complaint was that It was too short. Yep. I like, even though I'm critiquing a lot of things, I don't have that much of an issue with the episode as a whole. If anything, it makes me happy that I could go back and watch it a second time and only be like 30 minutes. Just wish there was more, which is a good thing because I want to see more. So
yep, I think that's exactly what that means, right? We're kind of that it's short because honestly they got us hooked, right? We want to see what happens next, and I don't see reason, as now the third show, I see no reason to think that they're not going to show us something. They're going to show us something. This thing is building up to something, and so I'm all aboard. All right, cool. I do got to work.
Yeah, I got to get going too.
All right. Well, hey, where can they find you, man?
At DXC Podcast, all day long, all day strong.
Awesome. And they can find me at MarkB50K on X, or you can find me in the app. I am much more active in the app now, so you can send me trades that I will decline. Until next week, I think next week's going to be a really awesome show. Until then, whatever you say.
TTFN. Happy trading.
Talk to all you folks later. Bye-bye.